Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story is an unusual crisis unfolding within the top ranks of China's Communist Party. President Trump making a surprising comment, very strange things are happening in China. His comments coming as rumors swirl that China's top leader may have suffered a sudden stroke. Tit for tat, China vowing to match U.S. port fees against Chinese ships with its own starting next Tuesday, rates and schedules highly mirroring the U.S. policy. China launching an anti-monopoly probe into U.S. chipmaker Qualcomm, the investigation targeting its deal with Israeli firm Autotox, how it could heighten tensions in U.S.-China tech trade. Trump taking aim at what he calls unfair business conditions. He's proposing a ban on Chinese airlines flying between China and the U.S. from using Russian airspace, a route American carriers are barred from. And preparations underway in Taiwan to deter a potential conflict with Communist China. The island's president just unveiled a new air defense system called T-Dome, designed to intercept incoming missiles from China.
The outcomes of that conflict tell us that aggression fails, unity prevails, and that peace is won through strength.
President Trump just condemned China's new moves restricting rare earth exports as extraordinarily aggressive. He is imposing an additional 100% tariff on China, on top of all existing tariffs, raising the baseline to 130%. The new tariff hike is set to kick in November 1st, the day China's rare earth restrictions take effect. Trump warned the tariff could come sooner, along with other measures, if China retaliates. Here's more.
President Trump announcing that China will pay an added 100% tariff on top of what they're currently paying to the U.S. That's as he's calling out the CCP for being very hostile and sinister with their new export controls on rare earth elements. On Truth Social, Trump wrote, starting on November 1st, 2025, or sooner, depending on any further actions or changes taken by China, the United States of America will impose a tariff of 100% on China over and above any tariff that they are currently paying. Also on November 1st, we will impose export controls on any and all critical software. This would bring tariffs on China up to 130%, 10% reciprocal tariff, 20% tariff due to China's fentanyl crisis, and now this latest 100% tariff. This comes as Trump said early on Friday that he's canceling a planned meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Both were expected to meet later this month in South Korea during the APEC summit. It's because the CCP is announcing new restrictions on exporting rare earth elements and other materials, which are used to make electronics from iPhones to missile defense systems, and the U.S. heavily relies on rare earths, of which China has an abundant supply.
A meeting between President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping may not happen. Trump suggests calling it off in a long post Friday on Truth Social, stating there seems to be no reason to meet with Xi. This comes after China dramatically tightened rare earth exports. Trump opens his post with a strong statement. Some very strange things are happening in China. He goes on to say that China is becoming very hostile and is holding the world captive by restricting access to metals and magnets used in electronics, computer chips, lasers, and other technologies. He says the U.S. has been contacted by other countries, which are reportedly very angry at what he called great trade hostility, which came out of nowhere. He adds he is considering a massive increase in import taxes on Chinese products in response to China's actions. Tensions remain as China blocks U.S. access to rare earths, important for electronics and other technologies. Following President Trump's warnings to fight back against Beijing's recent moves, both on social media and public, China is responding. Beijing-approved messages are circulating on state-run media, a common way to signal China's stance to the world. Chinese reports warn that the U.S. economy still depends heavily on Chinese supply chains, making true decoupling nearly impossible. They also say these restrictions aren't new, but a bargaining chip meant to push Trump back to the negotiating table. Following Trump's latest comments on China, the market is reacting. The Dow Jones drops a significant 600 points on Friday, a key measure of the largest U.S. companies. The S&P 500 dips the most since April, tracking the performance of 500 top U.S. stocks. In notable timing, President Trump stirred speculation with a surprising comment in his Friday social media post stating some very strange things are happening in China. We'll break down the context and the events behind it as unverified reports from multiple sources circulate that China's communist leader Xi Jinping may have suddenly suffered a stroke. Now we present a new segment, China in Focus Insights, a closer look behind the headlines.
Over the past 2 days, messages from multiple sources have echoed similar claims, suggesting that Chinese leader Xi Jinping may be in serious condition, possibly due to a sudden stroke. Among them are Du Wen, the former CCP official, and Tang Baichao, a pro-democracy activist. U.S. President Donald Trump is fueling speculation about Xi's possible health issues, stating, "Some very strange things are happening in China." He added, "This was a real surprise, not only to me, but to all the leaders of the free world. And things that were routine are no longer routine at all." Tsai Chen-Kun, a well-known commentator on China affairs, said in his X post, quote, "The CCP's latest series of actions has caused Sino-U.S. relations to continue to plummet, leaving Trump unsure who is in charge within China and who can actually talk." As a planned meeting between Trump and Xi is coming at the end of this month, the market is anticipating a pretty big breakthrough in the trade talks between the two nations, according to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. Meanwhile, Beijing's recent actions have shown a very hostile stance. China has unveiled new curbs on its exports of rare earths and other critical materials. On Friday, Beijing announced that U.S. ships will be charged for docking at Chinese ports starting next Tuesday. Chinese officials have also opened an antitrust probe into Qualcomm, a leading U.S. chip design and patent licensing firm. Is this merely a negotiating tactic ahead of the planned Xi-Trump meeting? Meanwhile, Taiwanese President Lai Ching-te, recently referencing the Nobel Peace Prize, urged Trump to help stop Beijing's military aggression against Taiwan. On its National Day, Lai also unveiled the new T-Dome air defense system amid rising threats from China. Previously, the president pledged that Taiwan's defense spending would reach 5% of GDP by 2030. Across the Taiwan Strait, China reportedly punished journalists for publishing reports that leaked details about new weapons. State broadcaster CCTV announced that Xi is expecting to attend and deliver a speech at the upcoming Global Women's Summit next week. China's state-run Xinhua reports that on October 10, Xi Jinping called Kim Jong-un to mark the 80th anniversary of North Korea's ruling party.
And it was quite clear that Xi Jinping could not go. He is in the middle of a life and death struggle to retain his position, which he may well lose in the fourth plenum coming up on October 20th to 23rd. The APEC summit in Seoul at the end of October, it's quite clear now that Xi Jinping will not go to that as well, because by that stage, Xi Jinping will either have consolidated power or be in the middle of an actual physical battle for survival, or he will be gone from public office or at least retired to a symbolic position.
Are state media outlets moving to quash the rumors about Xi's health and possible political turmoil? Analysts suggest that amid escalating internal power struggles, the Chinese Communist Party may not rule out using war as a means to resolve its domestic challenges.
Beijing is sending a series of what President Trump described as very hostile signals this week. On Friday, China announced a tit-for-tat policy against the United States. U.S. ships docking at Chinese ports will now face new fees. The Chinese Ministry of Transport says all U.S. vessels will be charged with $56 per net ton at Chinese ports starting next Tuesday. Ships owned by U.S. businesses, organizations, individuals, or entities with stakes over 25% will all be subjected to the new rule. This applies on top of any ships flying a U.S. flag or built in Washington. Each U.S. ship visiting Chinese ports will be charged the fee up to 5 times per year. And the fee will increase every year until 2028, roughly tripling the starting rate. Worth noting, China's new port fee rule mirrors many aspects of the U.S. port fee policy announced back in April. They both have similar rates and annual increases and will take effect on the same day. Chinese state-run media says Beijing's new rule is designed to retaliate against Washington. It also highlights Beijing's posture just ahead of Chinese and U.S. leaders meeting in South Korea for the APEC forum later this month. On Thursday, after China had announced stricter controls on its exports of rare earth minerals targeting the West, the Trump administration has proposed banning Chinese airlines from flying over Russia on U.S. routes. Here's a look at what's behind the proposal.
The U.S. is stepping up pressure on Chinese airlines, proposing a ban on their use of Russian airspace for flights to and from America. The move, announced Thursday by the Transportation Department, aims to level the playing field. Chinese carriers currently fly over Russia, indicated here in red, cutting travel time and fuel costs. U.S. airlines have to take a longer path around Russia to reach the same destination, highlighted in blue. American carriers say that gives the Chinese airlines an unfair edge. The Transportation Department calls it a significant competitive factor and wants it stopped, though the new proposal exempts cargo-only flights. Chinese airlines have just 2 days to respond to the proposed order. A final order, which could take effect as early as November, might impact Chinese carriers like Air China and China Eastern, but it wasn't clear if Hong Kong-based Cathay Pacific would be affected. Russia has blocked U.S. airlines from its skies since 2022, a tit-for-tat response after Washington banned Russian flights over the U.S. after the invasion of Ukraine.
Over to Taiwan, October 10th marks Taiwan's National Day. President Lai Ching-te unveiled a new air defense plan called T-Dome. He emphasized that peace is maintained through strength. NTD's Taiwan correspondent Joy Chu has the story.
As the Chinese Communist Party intensifies its military threat toward Taiwan, the island, officially known as the Republic of China, is marking its 140th National Day, October 10th, right here in Taipei. And behind me, you can see the Presidential Office Building, where today's celebrations are now underway.
The outcomes of that conflict tell us that aggression fails, unity prevails, and that peace is won through strength.
President Lai said Taiwan will continue investing in advanced defense and AI technologies to develop smart defense combat system. A special defense budget will be proposed by year's end. Defense spending will exceed 3% of GDP next year and reach 5% by 2030.
We will accelerate our building of the T-Dome, establish a rigorous air defense system in Taiwan with multi-layered defense, high-level detection, and effective interception, and weave a safety net for Taiwan to protect the lives and property of citizens.
Lai also expressed hope that China will act responsibly, stop distorting UN Resolution 2758, and stop coercive efforts to change the status quo across the Taiwan Strait. UN Resolution 2758 recognized the People's Republic of China as the only legitimate representative of China to the United Nations. Beijing, however, takes this a step further, saying it means that Taiwan is part of China.
Reporting from Taiwan, Joy Chu, NTD News.
Taiwan says a Chinese Coast Guard vessel was spotted sailing near the disputed Pratas Islands in the South China Sea on Friday. The Taiwanese Coast Guard said the vessel was detected about 20 nautical miles from the islands. Officials noted its automatic identification system had been turned off, apparently to hide the ship's exact location from Taiwan.
Calling Chinese Coast Guard 3102. This is Taiwan Coast Guard. You have entered our territorial waters without permission. Your action has impacted the maritime order and safety. Please immediately turn around. Leave our territorial waters as quickly as possible.
Taiwan says the action is a deliberate gray zone tactic intended to undermine peace and stability in the region. A gray zone strategy uses tactics that fall between peace and full-scale war. Beijing is applying pressure through a mix of military maneuvers, cyber attacks, and economic measures. It's also trying to infiltrate Taiwan through propaganda and information campaigns, aiming to take control without formally declaring war. Democratically governed Taiwan has faced increased military and political pressure from Communist China in recent years. Taiwan's defense ministry says it's training soldiers to shoot down drones in response to Chinese incursions.
China has deployed its Coast Guard in recent years on patrol exercises and has boarded Taiwanese fishing vessels. Taiwan's outlying islands are also closer to China than the main island and often face incursions from Chinese drones. China claims sovereignty over Taiwan and has threatened to take the island by force. Taiwan rejects those claims.
Coming up, crowds returning for China's Golden Week holiday spree, but spending staying sluggish. A closer look at how travelers are reacting to the nation's slowing economy. In North Korea, marking 80 years of rule with a massive military parade, China and Russia sent top officials, but not Communist leader Xi Jinping. What message does that send? An expert weighs in after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. China's Golden Week, the country's biggest travel and shopping holiday, returned this year with record crowds, but spending stayed below expectations. During the 8-day holiday in early October, around 2.4 billion trips were made to popular tourist destinations across China. Total domestic spending during Golden Week hit its lowest level in nearly a decade. Many Chinese are sharing their struggles on social media. We also spoke with several citizens to get their firsthand perspectives. Here's what they had to say.
Life in China is very stressful. I feel so anxious. No matter how hard you work, I can never make enough. There are always bills to pay. Electricity, gas, kids, elderly parents, all kinds of expenses. Vegetables are so expensive. How could anyone afford them? I eat very little, and when it comes to food, clothing, housing, and transportation, I save wherever I can. I even pick up discarded vegetables, and I've stopped buying clothes.
Hotels in China's capital have been feeling the chill too. According to Beijing's official reports, the average monthly profit for hotels during the first half of this year was less than $850. Yes, you heard that right, under $850. That's less than half of Beijing's average monthly wage. Economists are calling it a consumption downgrade, with people cutting back, trading luxury for essentials. Sales of luxury cars and jewelry are slipping, while more affordable goods are drawing bigger crowds. Other pressures are adding to the slowdown. Property prices have been falling for nearly 3.5 years, and official reports show youth unemployment hovered around 19% in August, weighing heavily on confidence and spending. North Korea is marking 80 years of rule with a massive military parade. Russia and China are sending high-level officials, but Chinese regime head Xi Jinping will not be attending. To understand the message behind this show of force and what it means for U.S. power projection in the region, we spoke with Gregory Copley, president of the International Strategic Studies Association. Now, North Korea is celebrating its 80th, year in position as that ruling party with a military parade, and Russia has sent Dmitry Medvedev, close ally of President Putin, and China has sent its second highest ranking member, Premier Li Qiang, the Premier's first time in 16 years. What does that signal in terms of the China-North Korea relationship by sending the Premier?
Well, it was clear that it was such an important anniversary that China had to send somebody, and it was quite clear that Xi Jinping could not go. He is in the middle of a life and death struggle to retain his position, which he may well lose in the fourth plenum coming up on October 20th to 23rd. So they had to send somebody. Li Qiang, the premier, has just effectively served as the Chinese representative at the UN General Assembly, so he's proven that he's a high-status figure to go to these functions. Kim Jong-un had to show that he had some allies, and so you saw, former President Medvedev there from Russia. We saw also the Communist Party leader from Vietnam, Tô Lâm, there as well. So it was an interesting gathering, but if it was meant to represent a significant alliance of anti-Western powers, I think they failed miserably. What we do know is that Vietnam is a bitter enemy of the People's Republic of China, and yet they sent the Chairman Lo Tam there, General Secretary. We know Kim Jong-un actively disparages Xi Jinping and the People's Republic of China off camera. So this is not really a relationship you can count on. That it's not a great military alliance. The military of all of the three major states, excluding Vietnam, which is there just because it's a communist government, but the relationship between the other three is fractious. Their militaries are either preoccupied, as in the case of Russia, or they are fragile, untested, and almost certainly deeply flawed, as in the cases of North Korea and the People's Republic of China. So as a showcase, it wasn't that important.
I want to dig into this because, as you mentioned, of course, China has a lot of its own internal instability happening right now in the political level and other areas, especially the economic level as well. But in terms of this alliance, if you will, or anti-West faction, you've been hearing a lot the past couple of years of this new axis of evil, right? China, North Korea, Iran, and then the other ones you want to say in the surrounding orbit there, if you will. But given, you know, their fractious relationship here, what does this mean or not mean in terms of U.S. power projection in that region?
Well, I think it shows that the U.S. power projection into the region under President Trump has revived dramatically and is very effective. What was also important to note with the parade was that the Iranian clerical government was not represented there. And that's critical, supposedly, in this new axis of evil against the West. Iran's being very careful. The Ayatollahs there are keeping their heads down because they don't want to disturb things. They are still in close relationship with the Russian government, but yet they still didn't come to Pyongyang. So this is a very, if this is what they call a solid alliance, then, you know, we don't have a lot to worry about, except for the fact that they could be letting off a few firecrackers around the world because they do have viable nuclear weapons in North Korea.
That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For on-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you soon.